it will affect you severely. I'm not saying we'll be coming to church, but you have so many questions unanswered. It's going to affect you very severely, very, very severely. It is important to understand and live by the correct, God's correct concept of righteousness, and not your own definition of righteousness. If you don't understand that, like I said, it will affect your ability to fellowship with God. It will affect your ability to access God. It will affect your ability for your prayers to work. It will affect your abilities to enter into the fullness of the blessings that God has for you. It will affect it severely. And because you don't understand that, you might be tempted to employ what God does not consider righteousness, which is religious. And the reason would be because of ignorance. It happened to Israel, robbed them of divine blessings. When Christ came, and then the Holy Spirit was introducing God's concept of righteousness, Israel totally rejected it because it didn't match what they are used to. It didn't match what they are used to. And a lot of people came into Christ, and for one reason or the other, they reject truth because it doesn't look like what they are used to. And Israel had an issue with that, and they suffered for that. Let's look at Romans chapter 9, verse 30. Romans chapter 9, verse 30. Romans chapter 9, verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness. What shall we say? That the Gentiles, remember that the Gentiles never had any concept of righteousness before. They were never given the law. So when this new concept of righteousness came, they embraced it. They didn't have any competing theology to fight it. They simply embraced it. But the Jews, because they had the Mosaic concept of righteousness, refused what the Holy Spirit was introducing to them in the New Testament. So the Bible said, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness. What does it mean, follow not after righteousness? They were not pursuing. They were not trying to be. They followed not after. Because the law was not given to them. They were not trying to be righteous by the law, so they followed not after righteousness. They were not pursuing it. They have attained to righteousness. How can it be that somebody who is not following after the law, God says he attained to righteousness? I mean, in the general concept of religion, it is the person that is pursuing the law that truly really should attain to righteousness. And so he says, they have not attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, because the law was given to the Jews, they followed it. The Paul said concerning the law, perfect, completely perfect. And that was true. They were very strict with the laws, and you could know the man that made Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit what? Eternal life. And Jesus said, how about the law? He said, from childhood. So how can you tell somebody who is followed this that is not righteous? So we should understand God's concept of righteousness. Because at the end of the day, God is the judge of all the earth. So let's read that scripture again in Romans chapter 9 from verse 30. So what shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, mark these things, they followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness. Even the righteousness which of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, had not attained to the law of righteousness. The next verse. Wherefore? Because, he said, why? Because they sought it not by what? Faith. But as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling block. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, the rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be what? Ashamed. It is very important that as a Christian, you get God's concept of Christianity. Don't get human concept, because it will take you nowhere. It will leave you dumb. It will leave you bewildered. You have so many questions unanswered. The reason they didn't understand what God means and God's way of declaring people righteous is because Moses gave them the law, and then they were following it strictly. And even when Jesus came, they were challenging him. I said, what are you talking about? We follow the law. From childhood, we followed it. What are you talking about, sir? Romans chapter 10 from verse 2 says, for I bear them with record that they have a zeal of God. They were very zealous. Paul said so. He said, I had the zeal of my fathers. They were very, very zealous. There are a lot of Christians today full of zeal. Unfortunately, don't have proper understanding. Full, extremely very zealous. But it doesn't translate into the divine blessings. It doesn't translate into answered questions. It doesn't translate into fullness of joy. It doesn't translate into experiencing the reality of God. But full of zeal. Full of zeal. So Paul said, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. What is this knowledge they don't have? For they being ignorant of God's what? Righteousness. Ignorant of God's righteousness. And going about to establish their own righteousness. Have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They have not. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So unless you have God's concept of righteousness, you will not attain unto righteousness. You will not. And you will lack boldness. I'm not saying you won't be zealous, but you will lack boldness, even in prayer. You lack serious boldness. And the devil will hinder you very easily. Because he will talk you out of your blessings because you don't understand the basis on which those blessings are yours. For instance, if you face challenges, the first thing he will come is to accuse you, and then you begin to look for what you did wrong. And if you start looking, he will show you. He will give you an endless list of what you did wrong. And then you'll be going round and round trying to sort those things, and you never sort it out. Because as you are talking about this, you are doing more. He will accuse you. And when he brings that accusation, he kills your faith. I'm not saying you are not praying, though. But you won't pray in faith. You won't pray in faith. And that's what drives people to look for prophets. Look for men of God. Because they've lost confidence in their own prayer. Complete, totally lost confidence in their relationship with God. So they are looking for somebody they think has a special relationship with who? To come and help them. Let me repeat that. Being zealous does not always translate into fullness of joy. It doesn't always translate into victory. Certainly not victory over sin, victory over the devil, victory over... It doesn't always translate into victory. So if you understand the concept of righteousness from God's point of view, the devil will find it difficult to dislodge you. Very, very difficult. You will be a hard one to knock down. Because you are building on the truth. And no storm will bring you down. It may not be noisy, but that's the truth. You are building on the rock. You are building on solid truth. And that's why I say, those that believe in him, they shall not be put what? To shame. No, there's no shame coming there. Things will show up, sometimes very severe. But I'm telling you, you're not going down. Because you know in whom you believe. So, what is righteousness? Having a righteous standing with God. Righteousness is a right standing or good standing with God. It doesn't mean human perfection. It's not a state of your holiness at all. It's not. It is being accepted. It is acceptance. Actually, the word you can substitute for that is acceptance by God. It's acceptance. It's the ability to come boldly before God without a sense of rejection by him or a sense of guilt before the throne of God. The ability to fellowship with God in faith, not with evil heart of unbelief that ruins your fellowship with God. The Bible says that heart of unbelief will draw you away from the living God. It doesn't make for fellowship with God. It separates you. That's what the Bible says. He said, this evil, he said, let it not be found in you, because it takes you away from the living God. It doesn't bring you into agreement with God. Whereas God believes this, you believe differently. And two cannot work together except they agree. You might be zealous. Very, very zealous. If I spend all night and do more all night. So it's the ability to stand before God boldly. And the word boldly that the scripture is, the word boldly is not to have any guilt or any sense of rejection. That's why. And then it gives you ability also to check the devil and talk to him, kick him out boldly too. That's righteousness. And so the background to this truth about righteousness is that man was found after Adam's sin to be unrighteous, to be unacceptable to God. So man was kicked out from the presence of God. He was no more acceptable to God. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And verse 23 summarizes all of that. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of glory of God. You know, to come short of glory of God is that you don't have access to the presence of God. Don't have access to the presence of God. Remember that before sin entered, that God will come and have fellowship with Adam. So Adam was always having access to the glory of God, to the presence of God. But when sin entered, Adam could not have that access to that presence. So the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of what? Yeah. So all of us, every human beings, were born in Adam. And we are born in sin. Like David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. And it is the sin of Adam that made us unrighteous. It's the sin of Adam that made us unacceptable to God. So we were unacceptable in the womb. It's not because of you came here to do something. The Bible says in Adam, all die. To die is to separate, to be separated from God. We were unacceptable in the womb. We were born of flesh. And the flesh profited nothing. We are born of flesh. The Bible says that which is of flesh is what? Flesh. That's why Jesus said you must be born, because that's first born, it's no use. And he said, if you are not born again, you cannot see what? So you cannot be accepted by God. You can't come into the kingdom. You can't come in God's presence. This firstborn that we are born is flesh. It's flesh. Everybody. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into what? The world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon how many people? All men, for that all have sinned. What brought that death upon us? What? What is that death? Separation from God. It's not physical death, because Adam was still alive. It's not physical death. He said that separation from God passed on all men because of Adam's sin. You must understand this truth. Because when you don't get it, you think you are good enough. You think, that's what the Jews were thinking. They say, we have obeyed the what? But what they didn't know was that they were born sinners. That's what Jesus was telling them. They didn't get it. He said, you're of your father what? The devil. He said, you will do his will. He said, okay, to prove it to you, you want to kill me. Because you're a bunch of killers. They want to kill me. A man that has told you the truth. He said, you're just doing the bidding of your father. And he told him, he said, except the son shall set you what? Free. You are bound. You are not free. Your nature is evil. You don't get it. They said, no, we are Abraham's what? No, he said, you are not. If you are Abraham's children, then you will know me. You will follow me. You will hear me. Praise the Lord. Come on. I say, praise the Lord. Are we not children of God now by faith in Christ and children of Abraham? That's what he was telling them. So they didn't get it. So they looked at themselves and said, we are good. What are they talking about? So now, basically, a lot of people look at themselves and say, I'm good. I'm not so bad after. Somebody was telling me, said, in my job, there's all my coworkers are so wonderful. So I don't know what to preach to them. It's because you don't understand the concept of righteousness. I don't know what to tell them. They're all so good. Hey, they were born in what? Sin. It is the sin of Adam. Get it? It's the sin of Adam. It's wherefore by one man's sin. By one man, sin entered what? And death by sin. And so death passed upon what? Whether they are good in your office or not. Passed upon all men. That now all have sinned. Can we read verse 19? Verse 19. Verse 19. For as by one man's what? Disobedience. What happened? Many were made. So what made us sinners? One man's disobedience. So by the obedience of one also shall many be made. So you are not made righteous by your obedience. This means you are made righteous by the obedience of Christ. We'll come to that. We'll come to that. So this is the background where humanity lost acceptance by God because of the sin of Adam. Adam sinned and sin entered the world, and with it death spread to all men. In fact, if you read that Romans chapter 5, it says, even those who have not sinned after the similitude of Adam, everybody. So you can now understand why Jesus was telling the Jews, you need to be born. So the Bible said, it was by the obedience of Christ. It was by what he did on the cross. Look at Philippians 2, 6. Philippians 2, verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of what? Men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became what? That's what the Bible is referring to. That the obedience of one. That he went to the cross by obedience. It was that work on the cross that brought us righteousness. By the obedience unto death. Even the death of what? Church, talk to me. Even the death of what? Of the cross. So when he said by the obedience of one we are made righteous, he's talking about what Christ achieved for us on the cross by being obedient to God. It's referring to the work of the cross. So now man is not accepted by God. It's a problem here. And yet God loves man. Praise the Lord. And so God gave Moses the law and told him something interesting. Romans 10 verse 5. For Moses described the righteousness which is of what? The law. The righteousness which comes from the law. That the man which doeth those things shall what? Live by. God said, okay, let's do a deal. You know all of you are out. He said, I give you the law. If you can keep what? All of them, you have life. What is life? I give you back glory. Come, have life. But we know that has a major issue. Because the man that God was giving the law is dead in sin and what? Trespasses. He has a nature that is sinful. And when your nature is sinful, all you need to do to stir that sinfulness is to give it a law. Because a life breaking law. To be sinful is that it is a law breaker. The Bible says by nature we are children of wrath. Law breaker. And then you gave a law breaker law. What does a law breaker do with the law? He breaks it. So God gave us the law, turned around and said, okay, you go keep all of it. If you keep all of it, you will come back. A bargain. And Israel went foolishly on the mountain and accepted. And say, yeah. They ready. They say, yeah, we will. Yeah, we'll do. And God said, we have a deal. We have a deal. But look at Romans 8:3. The law failed woefully because of the flesh. Because of the flesh. Romans 8:3. For what the law could not do. What is it that the law could not do? Restore man to life. Bring him back to God, the source of life. The law could not do. Remember, I said, if you keep all of it, you live. But it says, well, what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the what? Flesh. Our flesh is a flesh of sin, and we are stuck with it. Until Jesus comes and gives us the new body that he promised. In Romans chapter 8, Paul was writing about groaning. He said that creation was subjected to iniquity, or not of its own will. It wasn't its own will, the sin of Adam. He said creation was subjected to corruption, not of his own will, because sin entered through Adam and corrupted everything. He said, and all creation is groaning because of it, because of imperfection. Because when sin came, death came, iniquity came, devil came. So all creation is what? Groaning. He said, we too are groaning. In this body, why are we groaning? You groan and I groan. Because we do things, you're like, oh my God, why? Oh God, oh Jesus, I shouldn't. You're groaning, you're unhappy. Because you love God. We groan. If you don't groan, you're not saved. Actually, the person who is not saved doesn't groan. Because he's planning for more. But the person who is saved is really seriously groaning. He's not happy at all. Do you get my point? So we too groan, waiting for the promise to give us a new body. When this body of sin will go. Because this corruption cannot inherit incorruption. You say we're waiting for that final salvation, final giving of the body that Christ promised us, the spirit body. When we have the spirit body, we become sinless and perfect. No more groaning, because sin will never happen again. But before then, we have this. And this thing has its own mind, has its own desire. There's nothing you can do about it. That's the nature. And if you don't want it, if you don't want to wear it, you leave us and go. Because if you don't wear it, you enter here, we'll drive you out. The Bible says the body without the spirit is what? Dead. Once your spirit goes, your body dies. Because it's your spirit that gives its life. That's what I was preaching about healing. The spirit of Christ in us. And then the power of Christ in us is giving life to our mortal bodies. Because the body is your spirit that's keeping this cloth. Do you get it now? I thought I explained it. You get it now? Okay, why is it weak through the flesh? Let me hear you teach me. The flesh is what? It's a lawbreaker. So Paul said, I'm thinking to do something good, but sin is with me right there. And the Holy Spirit warned the church two places, in Galatia and Corinthians. He said, the flesh will fight your what? Spirit, and will not let you do what you want to do. So that's a reality of life. If you deny it, you are not living. But that's a fact. That's a fact. And so, what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not, what? After the flesh, but after the spirit. So God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to provide righteousness which the law could not provide. That the righteousness of the law, but God says, if you obey the whole law, you have life. But because of the flesh, nobody can. And so God sent his son to provide us righteousness. And we just read it in Romans chapter 5, 19. If you go back there, if you go back to Romans 5, 19, go back there. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made what? And so by the obedience of who? One shall many be made what? So God sent his son that through his obedience to go to the cross, we were made righteous. He provided us righteousness, which the law could not provide us. Are you with me here? Did I lose anybody? Okay, fine. Do you accept this? If you accept it, say amen. I'm slow because this is very important. I want you to get it. If you get it, your life will change. Actually, this is your first battle. This is the victory you have about the devil because he will attack your sense of righteousness so viciously. Because he knows that if it is compromised, you won't have boldness again. Once you compromise it, you are beaten about the bush. And you're no more sure whether God will answer my prayer or not answer my prayer. You won't have that confidence, brethren. And the Bible said this is the confidence we have. That if you ask anything according to his will, he what? So if you don't have that confidence, where are you headed? Where are you headed? James 2 verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of how many? He's guilty of what? Is there anybody who will say he has not offended the one? Raise your hand and we know we have a liar in the house. The Bible says, in all things we offend all, including this one is the number one. There are some things I say to myself, have you lost your mind? I'm like you. You think I'm different? Ask her. I'm sure she's praying for me 24/7. God will have mercy on this, my husband. I'm like you. Well growing. If you see me behave like you, please accept me. The Lord will have mercy on me too. Can I hear amen? No. You are not praying for me. That's why I'm not saying amen. I'm telling you, all of us are in this together. Don't worry that I'm teaching it. It's all process that we all go through. I have flesh like you do have. Everybody does. Praise the Lord. So if you offend the one, you have offended our brethren, what is the way out when trouble now? Galatians 3:11. That we now, you see why Galatians 3:11 is true. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God now, it is what? Evident. You don't need to preach this to you. Because if you offend the one, you offend what? And so, the Bible says, it is now evident that no man can be justified or counted righteous by account of the law. No man. No man. No man. But that's what the Jews were boasting about. They were boasting. So they didn't understand. You know, one time I was taking a walk and the Lord said to me, say, do you know if you, say, many of you don't even know what righteousness means. He said, you don't even understand the sense of holiness, what it means. He said, my standard of holiness is me. My standard of holiness is what? God himself. He said, there's nothing like 99%. He said, think you can attain it? So if you are waiting, my brother broke off, if you are waiting for me to stay 1 week without offending anyone, then I will never be righteous. I will never be accepted by God. And you will never be accepted either. And it is this sense of righteousness, this sense of being accepted by God that helps us bear the fruit of the Spirit. Because you can't bear the fruit of the Spirit when you are separated from God. It's you uniting with Christ. It's you being united with him that the power of God begins to work and to transform you, to teach you things, to give you the ability to do things that you didn't want, even some things you don't want to do. It changes your understanding. It changes your understanding. Touches your heart. Overwhelms you with his love. And it begins to overflow out of you. There's somebody I've not seen for a long time. And I've been planning to go and see this person for a long time. And I was somewhere driving from far away. All of a sudden, I was filled with such compassion for this person. Overwhelming compassion. I was driving, compelled by that compassion. It's the Spirit of Christ. That's what Paul said. He said, the love of God controls what we do. But that unity, that boldness to accept, to believe that you accepted and you're working together with him, that's what will help you bear the fruit of this. But when you think you're not accepted and you are dodging him, how can you work together with him? Romans 7, 4 and 6, New Living Translation. So, my dear brothers and sisters, this is the point. You die to the power of the law. So, it can't condemn you now. You die to the power of the law when you died with Christ. And now you are united with the one who was raised from the dead. As a result of that being united with him, we can produce what? A harvest of good deeds for God. You don't produce a harvest of good deeds for God because you are distant. You know, you make up your mind, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. That's what I preached 2 Sundays ago. It did end. He saved the city. Because the law was given to us, we all failed. We flunked. So it is this fellowship with God. Is this walking together? He said we are co-laborers with him. Is this accepting fellowship with him based on his mercy for you and what Christ did that will make you produce a harvest of good deeds? Because you can't produce nothing without Christ. And you can't produce when you're avoiding him. So he says, if you want to bear fruit, he says, you need to abide what? In me. You can't detach from me. He said, if you detach from me, you'll be broken down, you'll dry up, and men will trample upon you. You won't exercise authority, you lose. He said, you must attach. But now you don't have the confidence to accept that he accepts you. And you are detaching yourself. So how do you bear fruit? You are going to resort to what the Jews were doing. And you are going to be thinking that it is that thing you are doing that is righteousness. You fall into the trap of the Jews. And that gives right to self-praise and self-worship. And then you become unteachable, become so proud, because you think, I'm wonderful. And so God shut down that old system that he gave us. Righteousness through the law, being accepted through the law, because an impossible route, God shut it down himself. Now, church, see why God is helping us. Teach this, is that if you go to employ what God shut down, you are using expired card. You are swiping expired what? Is it expired card they call it? Huh? Does card expire? There's another word they use. It will be, you're right. So if we go and swipe expired card, what does it show at the distance? You've done it before now. Why, you know, say what they saw. What did you see? What did he say? Why is it declined? You are using an invalid card. Don't go to God and swipe an invalid card called righteousness through the law. It's invalid. It has never even produced for anybody. But now it's expired. It's out of the way. The way of righteousness through the law is shut. It's not even an option no more. They close shop. So if you bring it, you are swiping expired card, you will see a huge decline. I'm saying this with all the love in my heart. Because this is why many Christians keep swiping the thing. And the devil is so wicked. He will try to maneuver your thinking to go back to the law. Because you'll be comfortable there, thinking of what good you've done. That's why we hear languages that say, you know, after everything I'm doing for God, God, why should this thing happen to me? After everything I'm what? Doing for you. Remember, there was one man that God said, get your house in order. You're about to check out. Right? The man turned his face and said, and enumerated to God all the good things he was doing. Remember, how many years did God give him? Eh? Go and read about those 15 years. What happened to him? It's an assignment. Go and read what happened to that man in those 15 what? You won't like it. Has anybody read about it? Go and find out what happened those 15 years. So God checked it out. In Romans, Hebrews chapter 7, 18 and 19. We read it. Yes, the old requirement about Hebrews chapter 7, 18. Is that where you are? Give me New King James Version. For there is verily a disannulling of the what? Commandment going before. For the weakness and what again? Unprofitableness thereof. Weakness. The law could not produce righteousness. Unprofitableness. It's nothing good it produced. For the law made nothing what? Perfect. That's why the translation of New Living Translation is not right. It's not talking about priesthood yet. It's talking about the law in its entirety, even though the priesthood is part of it. But you can't isolate priesthood because it's talking about the law that was going before, included the law of priests that made people priests. That's all included. But this is it's inclusive of the law that God gave. Because you can find other scriptures that say that God has shut that system down. He said he closed it down. So, for the law made nothing, what? Perfect. But the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we, church, come on, by which we now become acceptable to God. You must know this: the what God brought in that draws you close to God, that gives you that boldness to come to God. That's the new ATM card you have. That if you swipe, you are in the presence of God. Once you swipe it, poof, pyam, pyam. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. He said, because of the unprofitableness, for the law made nothing perfect. It didn't bring us righteousness. Not, and the Bible said, what the law could not do, God did by sending his son. So now look at what the new profitable way, the new way that God brought. Remember what we said at the beginning. It's important that we understand righteousness from God's point of view. Because he's the judge. You are not. If he tells you this is how it works, accept it, because that's the way it works. Now, Romans 3, 21. But now, everybody say, but now. But now the righteousness of God without the law. Without what? Is manifested. Being witnessed by the law and the prophet. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto how many people? All. And upon what? All of them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short, what? The glory of God. I want to take you back again to that Romans chapter 5, verse 19. Let's read Romans 5, 19 again. For as by one man's what? Disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be what? So how were you made righteous? By what Christ did on the cross. His obedience to go to the cross. So that's why the Bible is talking about it again That's what it's talking about, that all those who believe in Christ now, that God counts them acceptable to him. He says, I will in no wise cast you out. Anybody that comes to me through him, I will know in no wise, do what? Cast it. Because I've made him. He is the new card I gave you. He is the new by his obedience for what he did on the cross. If you believe in what he did, I count you righteous. I will accept you. Case. Many people struggle with it because they don't believe fully in Jesus. I mean, I'm not saying they don't talk about Jesus, but they don't believe fully in him. They want to believe half and believe half Old Testament. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 8. Wherein he had abounded towards us in wisdom and prudence. Abounded is accepted. Can you put New Living Translation? He has showered his kindness on us along with wisdom. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6. Verse 1. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to who? Yeah, that son. So now, put King James. Let me go back. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us what? Accepted. He made you accepted. He made me accepted. You didn't make yourself accepted. You did. It was by the obedience of one he made us accepted. If you go, Isaiah prophesied this in Isaiah 53, saying that through this is suffering, my righteous one will make it possible for many to be made righteous. For many to be made righteous. So you didn't make yourself. And I didn't make myself to be accepted. No. Did he make you righteous? Only 10 people. Did he make you righteous? Do you really believe that? Okay, see again what the scripture says. 1 Corinthians 1:31. Therefore, as the scripture says, if you want to boast now, do what? Boast only what? Because you have nothing to boast about. Don't have anything to boast about. Romans 5:17. Romans 5:17, we are going to be faster now. For if by one man's offense, death, what? Reigned by one, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of, is it a gift? Gift of what? Shall reign in life by one, that Jesus Christ. See, when you don't understand this, you can't reign. The devil will reign over you. He will deal with you. Then Paul warned the church. He said, you can't have it both ways. The Spirit of God warned you and me. He said, you are not going to have it what? Because he knows that people are going to really want to struggle with this. He said, you are not going to have it both ways. You are not going to. You either take this one or you take this one, but only one works with God. Only one works with God. And that takes away our pride, takes away our boasting. Because you see, if it is us, oh my God, once I sit and look at Muhammad, I condemn him. Because the reason we gossip and condemn people is because we think we made ourselves righteous. So automatically, you have a standard, which is you. And if the person doesn't talk like you, doesn't behave like you, you condemn them in your heart. So you see what is... But if you know that he made you righteous, there is nothing to boast about. You will be humble like Ahab every day of your life. What they gave you, what are they boasting about? It was given to you now, free. Praise the Lord. And it was given to him too.
He was given to you too. So why should I boast over you? We all accept it by faith in Christ. So Paul warned us in Galatians 5 verse 7. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you what? Nothing. Galatians 5, 7. Is that? Am I reading a different place? Oh, sorry. Galatians 5, 2. Sorry, not 7. 5, 2. Behold, I say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you what? Nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Since you want to be accepted by circumcision and what to do, you have to do all of them then. Then verse 5. For we through the Spirit, there's no condemnation for those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, meaning those who live according to the word, who believe the revelation of the word of God, who believe it. So he says, we through the Spirit wait for the hope of what? Righteousness by faith. So we trust that one that God gave us is what we are trusting in. Not trust any other thing. The next verse. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Faith which works because of what God gave us by his grace, by his love, we can accept. It's a gift. Ephesians 2:13. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most what? Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19. I didn't say 1, 19. Having therefore, brethren, what? Boldness to enter the holiest by, I didn't hear you, by blood of Jesus Christ. Continue. By a new, remember I said, the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a new, we just read it now. Bringing in of a new what? Bringing in of a new is because you people eat phalaenae a lot. So after swallowing phalaenae, I don't remember. He says bringing in a new what? I won't tell you. You have to find it out. But now that it's repeating it here by saying by a new and living way which he had what? Consecrated for us. He's the one that said, this is the way you come to me now, through the veil, that is to say his what? Flesh. And having now a high priest over the house of God, let us draw nigh with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from this evil conscience, our bodies washed with what? Pure water. He's saying that the way that you wash your body with pure water, that's how faith purifies you. The Bible said, Jesus said they were sanctified by the faith that is in him. Faith is what pleases God. So let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Praise the Lord. So he's talking about this new and living way which God has consecrated for us. And we should understand that new way. The new card you have is faith in Christ. Tell your neighbor what I said. So let's see what Paul, I'm going to close with this. Philippians 3, from verse 1 to 11. Am I shooting over your head? Do you have your new card? Huh? So you swipe it all the time. It's God gave it to you. He said, it's the new way I consecrated to you, the way of righteousness of faith. Righteousness of faith. Faith in Christ. Not the righteousness of the law. So don't do that. Now, Philippians 3 from verse 1. I'm reading New Living Translation. From verse 1. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it so to safeguard your faith. Continue. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be what? Circumcised to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely. What do we rely on? What Christ Jesus had done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. Verse 4. Though I could have confidence in my own effort, if any could, indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. The law he obeyed it from the beginning. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of what? Benjamin. A real Hebrew, if there is ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous. See what he wrote? He said they are so zealous, but not according to knowledge, because he was one of them. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. The next verse. Go back now. Yeah, okay, the next verse. Verse 7. I once thought these things were what? Valuable. But now I consider them worthless. Because of what Christ has. Don't pick it up. It's worthless stuff. Verse 9. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, oh man, for his sake I have discarded what? Everything else, all these things. Counting it all as garbage so that I can now gain Christ. Verse 10. And become, you see what I'm talking about? United with him, you produce character, you produce good fruit. That united, become one with him. One with him. Because it is this faith in him that gives me access to him so that we can walk together. Become one with him. I do no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. That's an old card. Rather, I become righteous through what? Faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on, case closed. I'm done.